Hi, we're going to talk about key management fundamentals in this session.
Yeah, specifically, we're going to talk about Ethereum keys. It's a decentralized key model, and so we want to kind of describe how that works under the covers so that people understand how these things actually function. Razi?
Yeah, sure. So if you look at the slides here a little bit, what we're going to get started with is the relationship between the keys and the accounts in Ethereum. Now, this is one example. We're getting a little bit more concrete here because it's just easier to demonstrate and explain how the keys work. So in this particular case, in Ethereum, you basically have both the public and the private key. So if you're familiar with the asymmetric key model, that's basically what it is. There's a key file in the JSON format that has certain information about the keys. Now, just to be clear here, the private key is now going to be get stored directly on the disk. And also, there is a way that you drive the Ethereum account from the key itself. So if you look at it here, the last 20 bytes of the public key are essentially going to be coming out of your public key, and that will be your account.
So let me get this straight. So we have a set of keys that we create, and the private key, obviously, we're not going to be sharing, but the public key then is used to derive an address, and that's where that thing actually lives on Ethereum. We're all used to accounts on Ethereum or addresses.
Yeah. Precisely. So when you do perform the transaction, and when you see the transaction details, you usually see that account address. That account address is essentially basically part of your public key. So technically you can extract the public key. I'll show you how to do that in case you want to do it for some particular reason. But typically publicly is not provided as a part of the different clients that Ethereum supports because it can be considered a security threat in certain scenarios, like a threat vector that exists out there. But technically, yes, behind the scene is essentially the key model that is in place. Now, one more thing, from a storage standpoint, you can store these keys in a key vault. I mean, they can be in HSM involved. We're not going to go in details here in this session today, but that is something that you need to consider if you wanted to really look into security.
So by default, we have you have on the screen here a JSON file that gets created, which is encrypted. So we have some security there, but you're saying we can even increase that security by having those assets be stored in a HSM, which is a specific piece of hardware that can hold the keys as opposed to it being just traditionally on a disk or memory.
Let's do this. Let's jump into the demo and take a look at the key file that basically it created for us. All right, so let's take a look into a quick demo. So what we're going to do is we have Ethereum client get installed and running. And we actually don't need to be connected to a blockchain. This can be happening offline, the key management and the account management part, just to clear it out. Now, in this particular case, if I go ahead and look into the directory here, and this is the default directory where the key store is located, you can change that if you need to. And you can see that I already have few keys here generated for me, and this is basically part of the account generation. So the one thing that is important here to understand, if we take a look at one of the keys here, so I will go ahead and take this JSON file that we talked about and put it here in the Visual Studio Code, you will notice that my account is on the top. This is my account address. And just to make sure that we can confirm that is the case, if you go ahead and do the account list operation, you will see that this is the account right over here. Now, from the keys standpoint, there is no private key here. The private key is actually extracted based on the passphrase that you provided. So the passphrase is essentially the password that secure your private key. But you can actually extract the public key. So for example, in this particular case, if I wanted to go and get to the public key, I have a piece of code that actually extract the public key out of the JSON file. So we're gonna do account public key and it will ask me the address. So I will give this address over here. It will ask me for the passphrase because it's password protected. So I'm going to do that. And then the location of the key file. So this is the key file right over here. Actually, it's this one. And you can see that the key is right here. So this is my public key. So you can actually extract the public key, and you can also technically extract the private key, and you can store it in some other hardware wallet if you want to. But typically, you don't want to reveal the private key in format in a plain text. So just to go back and complete a little bit on the coding side here. So the get code is in Go language. And what I did is in order for us to get to the public key, I extracted it out from the file, and we are basically returning the public key using the out-of-the-box method. And you can see that you can get the public key extracted out of the private key. And one more thing I want to highlight here is that by default, when you have a password protected key, it's basically getting stored using the store key method here. And you have a different ways to override it if you wanted to store it in different places other than just a hard disk. So with that, I think it's just a very high level, but sort of like a view into how to manage keys and the relationship with the accounts.
Yep. Thanks, Rosie. This has been interesting.